You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
It's not just the weather that has been hot lately. Penn State recruiting very busy this first week that they are having players on campus. So we're going to talk about it because that's what we do here on the BWI Live Recruiting Show. And by we, I mean our experts. Ryan Snyder and Sean Fitz, the leading insiders in Penn State recruiting here. Gentlemen, welcome to the show. I'm assuming there's some golf in somebody's future today. Ryan, you're not a golfer, right?
No, I have so much landscaping to get done around here. That's been my focus for 2 weeks now, but we'll worry about that later.
But you don't golf, right?
I'd love to if I could, but yeah, I can hit an iron and three putt with the best of them, but God, I take out the driver and it is just terrible.
Fitz, I know you love golf. Are you good? Are you good at golf?
Oh, no. Actually, Nate's out without me right now again. Yeah, I know, right?
Wait for you? Jeez.
Yeah, it's a big week for him. Big Ten tournament. So his focus is fully on the Nittany Lions, who won last night against Michigan, by the way. No, I mean, I'm not good. I've gotten better, and I enjoy the process of getting better. But as an athlete going out and playing golf and not being good at it, absolutely terrible experience. Just the worst. But as I've cared less, as I've had kids, it's much more enjoyable because I don't really, pound it in my head that I have to be the best at it.
Fair enough.
Yeah, I tried it about five times and I'm like, this is stupid. I'm not going to be bad at this and lose all of this money on golf balls because I keep hitting them into the woods. I'm one of those guys that's like, I want to hit it as hard as possible every single time, forgetting that I know what I learned is like, hey, you just hit the ball and you'll be fine. No, not really what we're here to talk about, but I do want to everyone to check out BlueWhiteIllustrated.com for all of our expert golfing. Not really. We got some recruiting coming up this week and some things that have already happened. So subscribe to BlueWhiteIllustrated.com for that information. Ryan, Malik Washington was at Penn State practice on Tuesday. I believe he tweeted about that. Visited Maryland the next day. Everyone loves QB news. So what's the latest on Penn State's quarterback situation heading into the spring, which we know is going to be very important for these players?
Yeah, a bunch of moving parts is the best way I would describe it. Still would have Matt Zoller as the top guy. Feel like that's been steady for the last couple months now. But Malik has obviously been here a lot. Somebody they really like. He's camped here, I believe, twice. So they have a good feeling for what he is as an athlete. I think Zoller's rise, if Zoller's doesn't rise the way he has, we would still be pretty focused on Malik. So I think the best way to put it right now is I expect Zoller's to decide before Malik Washington, so that should keep it from being any awkward situations or the staff having to make really difficult decisions because it looks like Zoller's and his basketball team won last night. They play now Archbishop Wood on Saturday, and I don't follow the 6A basketball scene crazy close, but I do know Archbishop Wood is one of the three or four favorites to win it all this year. So my point with that is if they are if they're able to upset Archbishop Wood on Saturday, then who knows how long they're going to go. But if the projections are what people expect to happen, there's a real chance Zoller's will be free to start taking visits next week. And then you have spring break, I believe, is like March 28th to April 1. So circle those dates. I mean, I could see him getting out on the road and really prioritizing the spring break. And then we should know what Zoller's is going to do, I think, in the first week or two of April. So, depending on how far the basketball season goes. So let's see where that shakes out. And if, he were to go elsewhere, certainly Malik is still in the mix. But I think there's just so many moving parts there. The other thing, I was talking with a contact about this last night, actually. Like, if Grunkmeyer and Smolik have a great spring, is another quarterback as necessary as we've kind of made it out to be? I don't know that it is. So just when you add in the young guys and their development over here the next couple of weeks and what Zollers ends up doing, and Malik still has, you know, visits planned to multiple schools. Just like I said, a lot of moving parts right now to figure that out. But I mean, the one thing I'm pretty confident about is that they're not going to pass up on a potential five-star quarterback in their own state. So let's see where Zollers is at here in about 3 weeks. And I think then we can kind of get a better read on where they go after that.
Does the butterfly flapping its wings effect apply here, where the longer he goes in basketball affect any of this? Or is it just that, you know, like if his team were to lose and he starts taking visits more sooner, is that a benefit to Penn State, or does that not really matter?
Nah, it doesn't matter. He's going to be decided by mid-April, right? I mean, even if they go all the way, I think it ends, is it that March 23rd weekend, I want to say?
It's a couple of weeks, yeah.
Yeah, so I think they're down to the final eight now, I believe. I think it was Sweet 16, now eight. So I think that, it shouldn't impact anything. I mean, Malik seems like he's going to make some more visits into April and shouldn't impact much.
Fitz, Andrew Olish has announced he's visiting this weekend. Coincidentally, Robert puts Penn State in his top five. Well, I'm counting Thursday as the weekend. You know, kind of an extended idea of the weekend. The college weekend, when you can go out on Thursday night and you feel like it counts as part of the weekend. I've always thought it was Thursday is like the soft opening to the weekend.
Could say
we were up there Tuesday. Everybody was going out Tuesday for that Zach Bryan concert. I don't know about Thursday anymore, man. That town was jumping the other day. Go ahead. Sorry about y'all.
Yeah, there are no rules anymore.
Yeah. Before we get to Olish, I will ask about Malik, or I will talk about Malik Washington, because it's interesting watching the trauma of Penn State fans follow this, because it's either, Malik Washington's visiting, so what's wrong with Matt Zollers? Or, hey, why aren't all the, like, why would Penn State put all its eggs in the same basket with Matt Zollers? It's so funny to watch the dynamic here of, like, something must be wrong because the top guy is not the one visiting first. And that's really interesting to me. By the way, Malik Washington is going to take official visits. He's going to take this into the summer. Not all quarterbacks are going to, number one, be able to do that. But I think where he sits in the general sort of lexicon of regional recruiting is that, like, he's a high regional guy right now and Zollers is the national guy. So you kind of have to take that seat, and then you see those regional dominoes fall and Zollers is the first one that's going to fall. So Zollers is going to visit in March, early April, and then make a decision. Then I think it's going to clear the runway a little bit for Malik Washington to figure out what he's going to do. Malik, I think, popped up at Maryland yesterday as well. So, like, there's the meme with the guy pushing over the domino and, you know, and everything, the domino effect, I guess you would call it here. And that's what's happening right now in quarterback recruiting. Penn State still likes Malik Washington a lot, but if you're going to prioritize 1A, 1B, I think it's fairly obvious that the in-state guy is the one that is sort of taking the attention right now. And they're still recruiting other quarterbacks as well. That's what you have to do. That's what you, and like, if a four-star guy in your region wants to visit, you're happily get them on campus there. Switching gears, Andrew Olish has become an important target for Penn State. Of course, tight end recruiting is very good at Penn State. It always is. You've got Andrew Olish, Lincoln Currier still in the mix for, obviously, you know, we haven't thought that he's going to end up at Penn State, but Penn State's in the mix there. Hayden Bradley down in Georgia is a name that's popped up as well. They're just recruiting that position really well and recruiting like the blueprint of their position. Andrew Olish was unrated when he was offered. Hayden Bradley was unrated when he was offered. These guys all of a sudden have blown up, whether it be through rankings, whether it be through offers. Olish got Florida State yesterday. He's going to Ohio State, going to Alabama. He's going to some big schools. And Penn State, I think, is still in the driver's seat there. But it's going to be an interesting spring for him. So he's going to get on campus today, Thursday. And, he was supposed to visit, I think, the 3rd or 4th of April. I think this trip is going to take place, but I also wouldn't be surprised with him a couple hours up the road if he does make it back. But yeah, I think Penn State in a good spot there. And it's nice to get the first visit here because you can sort of re-solidify like where he's been the most. And that's, it's always an actions louder than words thing. Feel pretty good if you're Penn State right now, but the competition is certainly a bit more than it was when they offered him back in January.
Just a little bit. With some of those other guys you mentioned, Ryan, do you feel pretty confident Penn State's going to land another top tight end given all the options that seem interested in the program?
Yeah. Yeah, they should. I mean, I think Hayden Bradley's very much in the mix as well. Sean, you know that. I mean, right. We'll see. He has an official visit scheduled for June, and you know, he's been on campus already. He's prioritizing unofficial visits elsewhere, I believe, this spring. So I'm not sure he'll be back here this spring. But he's certainly a guy that, you know, we're talking a lot about Olish, as we should be, of course. He's the fourth-ranked tight end in the country now and is an in-state guy. And, you know, he even has family who graduated from Penn State. So it makes sense why he's the number one guy we discuss. But Bradley, I think from a relationship perspective and the feedback that I get, is definitely a real contender and someone to keep an eye on. Be interesting if they could take both. I don't know. The Brady O'Hara thing, I just did the scholarship projection today. The Brady O'Hara situation, we're looking at him as like just an athlete kind of right now, but how that impacts tight end, how that impacts maybe offensive tackles. I still think he's going to be a tackle, but just would be interesting to see if you know, they did get Olish, could they still then push for Hayden Bradley down the road? So we'll see. But yeah, Olish is definitely the one to have circled, I think, at the moment. And he's going to take some big visits elsewhere. But, you know, at the end of the day, it still would really surprise me if he didn't end up at Penn State, just because this is a guy who really wanted that Penn State offer, came to camp 2-3 times, it was, came to every marquee Penn State game, came to the Lash Bash. I mean, all the signs are there for him to end up at Penn State.
I agree. I think it's, you know, his father went to Penn State. So like there's connections there. Like he came to multiple camps. Like when you come to multiple camps, like that's kind of saying something. And obviously he wasn't the profile that he was, you know, he didn't have the national profile that he has now, but like people took notice of that. Like if you were watching those camps, I think I said it back in June, I'm like, this kid's probably going to end up in the class based on those athletic testing exploits that he has. So he's come along. It's just, you know, it's been fun waiting to watch. And it's kind of like Luke Reynolds last year. Like it's been a rise that's been sort of in line with what Luke did last year. And if you look at him as a prospect, he's not all that different.
We've got a full list of players that are visiting over the next couple of days, which we're going to get to in just a little bit. Andrew Olish is just the preview of that. Also, we're going to have a conversation about some of the general topics of recruiting that have come up recently. Fitz did an awesome mini board on corners, which was like 30 deep. It felt like it was a long article, Fitz. Stretching the use of the word mini in that situation. But that's coming up here on the show. First thing I want to talk to you about, though, is our sponsor of the show. And that is My Perfect Franchise. Your best path to success of determining your future is to determine your financial future. And if you've got the skills to work for yourself, meaning you've got business experience, you've got expertise in a certain sector of the economy or a lucrative field, My Perfect Franchise, Andy Ludeke, can help you find the path to your next opportunity, whether you're trying to leave a legacy, leave your current job, diversify, or you're one of those people that loves having a side hustle. You want to keep your main job. You love the security of that, but you want the little extra cheddar on the side. All of these things are possible with the different types of ownership you can have when you buy into a franchise. And he can take you through all of that information because he's done all of these things in his own life, leaving corporate America and starting his own businesses. He's learned a bunch of this stuff in 6+ years of business ownership. He's gone through all the ups and all the downs. He knows what works for him and what is generally hot in franchise ownership. Different areas of fitness and health are huge right now. He talked to us for about 20 minutes on different fitness and health entrepreneur options there are that you can buy into, and whether the economy is good or bad, people, you know, there are certain sectors that will always stay strong. So he can point you in the right direction for that. And if you want him to do that, 404-973-9901 is the number to call. Andy at myperfectfranchise.net to give him an email, or you can check him out on the Blue White Illustrated message board. Andy is there. He is he's a message board lifer. So he gets you, he knows you because he's been talking to someone just like you for 20+ years on the message board. So he's a really relatable guy. And I think that you'll have the opportunity to find a path forward where he wants you to succeed. This is not just getting you to buy into something so that he gets a commission. This is, he wants you to be successful in your next endeavor. So check out My Perfect Franchise. Appreciate him for supporting the BWI Live recruiting show.
It's only a kick. A jump, a block, It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Okay, guys, that conversation about kind of the recruiting topics so far this year. And if you got any questions, you want to, the conversation topic you want to get to, leave it in the live chat. And we'll talk to you about that. Fitz is excellent at talking to people in the chat on the show. I just want to give you a gold star for replying to people who have interesting comments in the chat, whether or not we bring them up here on the show. But we'll get to his mini board in just a minute. Ryan, you talked to Jaden Woods recently. So tell us, who's Jaden Woods and why should Penn State fans be interested in a Kansas native who might potentially come to Penn State?
Yeah, really good player that, you know, I don't think we were discussing probably enough in January, February, and someone who in more recent weeks, I think, has just been brought up to me in different discussions. Really good prospect, four-star player, I think at all four major sites, you know, probably a top 25 edge rusher. One of the top prospects in Kansas for this season. The connection there is James Franklin actually recruited his dad at Kansas State. His dad was a running back in the 2007 class. James only spent one season at Kansas State. So he helped a little bit with recruiting and spent a year with his dad before he moved on to Maryland. But there is a connection there, and that connection has helped Penn State stay in the mix here. We'll see if they're able to get an official visit. He has two scheduled to Purdue and Wisconsin at the moment. He's heading out to, I believe it's Michigan State, Florida, and Tennessee here over the next week or so. And I think after he gets these visits in, he's going to try and sort out the rest of his official visit schedule. So just a good quality defensive end prospect that I think kind of gone overlooked a good bit, you know, learning more about that ties with James and his dad. Certainly, intrigues me a little bit, but it's not like there's a big connection there. I don't want to make that to be like the Donald Driver, Christian Driver connection. You know, that was a much more of a firm relationship than this one, but certainly a good player that I wouldn't shock me if they get an official visit. I don't know. Like if he, I feel like he would have probably visited once or twice before if Penn State's a true, you know, top two, top three kind of contender here, but you know, we've seen guys not get on campus until spring in the past, then take an official visit and commit. So I don't want to rule that out. And then when you look at the defensive end board as a whole, you know, there's a lot of quality guys there, but a lot of questions too, players that, you know, a big group of guys that I feel like Penn State should be top five with, but are they the favorite with anybody? I'm not exactly sure. So, you know, we kind of lump Jaden Woods into that category at the moment.
Fitz, have you gotten any individual players that you're interested in talking about here before we get to the mini board?
Not particularly. Malik Washington, obviously the big one the other day. But Jaden Woods, Davion Taylor was up from Pittsburgh. They're just sort of, I don't want to say easing into it because there was a bunch of guys there yesterday, but you know, Thursday is a bigger list and then Saturday is going to be an even bigger list there. Be interesting to say, based on what Ryan was saying, taking a look at the edge board is different because there's not much in the region at all. The edge class in 2025, and I just actually texted Charles Power about this to get a sense of how good it is nationally. But yeah, you're going to have to go national if you're Penn State in terms of finding an edge. They don't need Benny. And if you are going to read Ryan's stories in the next couple of days about the breaking down the numbers, it's obvious after taking Malachi Williams, forgot about that. They're okay at DN. It's a spot where they'll continue to add numbers. D tackle is, you know, even more of a sort of a log jam right there after taking four last year. But it's a situation where it's probably gonna be a slower drip if you're talking about defensive ends, and it's gonna come from a national level, I think.
So let's get into the mini board. Let's get into the conversation about the cornerback room. And I think the thing that struck me, like I said earlier, is the number of names that were on the board. And, you know, having a cursory look at some of these players, the level of talent that seems to be there. So I guess what's your read on where Penn State stands in the spring with cornerback board bringing in talent to replenish what they've been able to do, which is, as you guys have written about, flip the script on Penn State corners and secondary players over the last 10 years with Terry Smith. Yeah. How do you feel that's going this year?
Yeah, I'm looking around here for my Terry Smith agent hat because I feel like I wear it sometimes here talking about how great of a job he does. I mean, Penn State, you used to look at Penn State corners and be like, you know, these are just, you know, big linebackers running around out there playing zone. It's really changed in the last decade. And obviously that's an exaggeration there. But it's really changed in the last decade under Terry Smith. And I feel confident that he's going to do it again. And there's some good names on the board. There's some good names regionally, which last year you obviously went to Florida for a couple of guys, got Kenny Woosley as well out of Philly, but you feel pretty good about where things stand with that. And then he went in the portal and, you know, they think they've got something in AJ Harris and Jalen Kimber too. I know Kimber wasn't great at Florida, but they think that he has the athletic traits and to do what they're going to ask him to do. And just by watching practice this week, there's a lot of them and a lot of them can play. Like you're thinking of Elliott Washington and you're like, oh, I remember that guy. And it's an athletic group, but this is another athletic board. Jameer Joseph is the guy that I keep looking for. Heck of a football player, great athlete all around there. That's a really good player. Just one of those guys that just popped to me early. You know, it was one of those, I think he was an 88 by us. Now he's a 4-star in the on 300. I think he's going to keep going up. He's a really good player. Brandon Finney's going to be on campus this weekend from McDonough. He's a player from McDonough. I mean, let's look at that one. Although Notre Dame is certainly a threat there and some other schools are certainly a threat. Josh Johnson's a guy from Ohio that we probably aren't talking about enough. You know, there's guys like that make a lot of sense. And then you just go further down the list and he's in, you know, I don't know. This must be a Terry thing. I know Terry loves to travel, but you got guys in California, you got guys in Florida, you got one in Hawaii. So hopefully he's planning his spring evaluation period based on, you know, the targets that he can find in these places that, you know, maybe bring the wife along for a weekend or something like that. But it's been really cool to watch this one come together. There are some guys on that list that, you know, fit into the nickel sort of realm of things. There's guys on the list like Antonio Branch that is going to be a safety probably. So they've got options. Terry Smith's a really good recruiter. They're going to have a bunch of visits. They're going to have a bunch of unofficial visits. They're going to have a bunch of official visits this summer. Hey, let's give them the benefit of the doubt here. Terry Smith's going to sign another good class.
Yeah. A couple of things that I think they're just generally that I following up on some of the things you said, Jalen Kimber wasn't bad at Florida. He just didn't stand out. And that's one of those situations where when you're a corner and you get beat a couple times, but you're okay and you don't make positive plays on the other side, people brand you as bad at football. So I find those things interesting. Ryan, do you have any insight or anything you want to add on the cornerback conversation?
I think they're going to sign quality guys. I do. And the more we learn, let me put it this way. They're in a mix with a lot of national guys, but the more I learn, the more I feel confident that they can land some of those national guys. And certainly Jameer Joseph, Brandon Finney, a couple of the regional guys, Josh Johnson, Ohio, we'll say that's regional. You know, I think Penn State should be able to land at least one or two of those, but like there's some guys down south and spread all over that I think Terry Smith has a real foot in the door with and you know, put himself in a position where they're top three or so, and we'll see where things end up. So the constant feedback I get is that like they're not too worried about it, because remember, Sean, we were looking at this board like 3-4 months ago. We're like, man,
where's it going to come from? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And then, you know, the feedback in more recent months is like, we're not too worried about it. We feel really good about the relationships we built with guys like Alex Graham and Kona Bonnie and others that, you know, they think that they'll be in the top three with a handful, you know, 5, 6, 7 guys, and should be able to pluck, you know, at least two of them or so. So right. They seem pretty positive about that board right now.
It's funny watching the dynamic of, hey, like they're building a board. Like this is a case at wide receiver in 2025. They're building a board and everyone's impatient about getting the top guys in November of last year or whatever, or December or whatever. And then you get to March and we're talking like, okay, who are they going to have to cut for official visits? Cause there's so many guys out there that they're involved in are involved with and like legitimately could see being part of this class. And now it's like, Higgins has too many guys on his board. I need to complain about this. So like that's kind of where we're at with that. So it's been funny to watch that dynamic. You'd like to see boards like, cause I think the corner board is good. I think the receiver board is wide, diverse, and good. It's a matter of landing those guys, obviously, but you're going to see the, I think the O-line board is probably going to continue to grow. Defensive end, we talked about a little bit. And then we're going to see what they do at positions where they already have guys like linebackers. So it's going to be very interesting. The second half of, I think the second half of this cycle, going by the number of guys that they have right now, is going to be fascinating, because I think that that's where the meat of this class, when we're talking about it on signing day, is going to be, is going to come from.
A guy that we haven't really talked about a whole lot, even when discussing the class, is Xavier Thomas, who's committed already at the cornerback position. Ryan, where does he fit into this in terms of, right now he's an on three star, generally a three star in the cycle by all the sites that have rated him. But watching his film, he seems like he's a very good player. I guess, where do you place him in terms of all of these, what's keeping him down lower on the rankings, even though he's an 89 overall?
His first ranking is an 89 high three star. I think that's actually pretty good, honestly, because he wasn't rated at all. And you know,
just a three star. He sucks then, right?
Right. Yeah, right. That's what I was trying to avoid. That was exactly what I was trying to avoid, but it's exactly what I said.
So when I, you know, when you're not rated and then your first rating is an 89, you know, that tells me that Charles thinks you have four-star potential, but let's see at camp. So let's see some things as we learn through the spring. I mean, and Charles is the only one. 24/7 does that. Rivals does that. I mean, a lot of guys do that, because look, at the end of the day, you don't want to be making guys four or five-star players and then downgrading them. It doesn't look good for you. It doesn't look good for the player. You know, that's, it's, we're still dealing with high school kids here. You don't want to be publicly demoting them and making them look bad in that kind of a setting. So I think that's a, it's a great start actually for Xavier. I think he's going to be a nickelback at Penn State. He's going to be Daquan Hardy. He's going to probably be fighting with Kenny Wolseley to play nickelback here in the next couple of years. Great testing numbers. You know, camped at Penn State. Did he camp twice? I know he camped once, but he had a great showing at camp last year and was a guy that, you know, we knew they really liked. But the way his commitment went down surprised us, just because what I've learned since was kind of a, they got the impression that once they offer, you know, he's going to want to jump on board, which is exactly what happened. So they took their time with it. We're very upfront with the family, wanted to see how his season went. And, you know, he passed everything that they wanted to see. Then you add in obviously his brother and his success with the Indianapolis Colts and his rise over the last couple of years. They feel good about the bloodline. So I think there's a lot to like there. And, you know, the more I'm excited to kind of go see him maybe at a Pittsburgh camp later this year, because I want to learn more myself. But, you know, from a film perspective, from a testing perspective, and the feedback we get, they're very happy with Xavier Thomas.
We got this here in the chat from Michael Sinisi. He says, good morning, fellas. Best content around. He also can't golf, and he says, that's why I'm watching you guys.
Thanks, Mike.
10 a.m. on a beautiful day. Always happy to support the show, which then he did. He's been awesome. Thank you, Michael, for joining the show and for being here to support the what we do on the Blue White Illustrated YouTube channel and, you know, everywhere else that we do stuff. He's a good follow on Twitter as well. Let's get to the visits for this upcoming weekend, starting today and really all week long. But the guys that, you know, that you want to bring out from BlueWhiteIllustrated.com, a full list that Ryan put together, you can check out if you want to sign up. And a good reason to sign up is you can get 2 months for $1 when you use the code PSU1. For the people like Michael that support us here on the channel and that are here all the time watching our stuff and giving us their eyes and attention, we want to give something back to you. Try out the site for an extra month. So you get two months for $1 when you use the code PSU1. So you can go check out the full list, but we're going to talk about the ones that are interesting and or public that we can kind of have a conversation here about. Fitz, I'll start with you. Who's somebody that you're interested in that's visiting this upcoming timeline? I won't say weekend.
Thursday today, Kalik Lockett is a, I want to say borderline five star. He's right up there, I think, in the top 25 with the way that we give out stars and stuff like that. You start with a certain low number of stars and then you continue to expand the board. So he's in the top 32, which is the five star range, but that's a waste of time. I'm sorry about that, everyone. Kalik Lockett is very good. He came to camp last year, earned an offer from Penn State, and now everyone wants him. And that's a good thing, in the sense that the evaluation's right, but in the other sense is like everybody wants him. So this is going to be a tough pull. But him getting back to campus is a big thing. You look at what Penn State likes at receiver, and this is a guy who goes up, makes plays on the ball. He's got the athletic gifts and things like that. There's a reason that everybody likes this guy. So Kalik Lockett is a guy at the top of the board. Will he land at Penn State? Probably not. But at the same time, coming back for a second visit in March, you know, which is never a, it's not an easy thing to do. Does it set you up for an official visit is the question that I have with Khalik Lockett. We will see. And that's going to be in June or so.
Yeah. And just to show everyone here what you're talking about in terms of his abilities, 12th overall player in the nation, according to the composite ranking. So that's a unified voice of this dude is good at football. As you can see here on the, for the people listening on the podcast, 13th overall in the On3 ranking. He is the number two wide receiver, according to 247 and On3. And somehow, because Texas is crazy at football, fourth overall in the state of Texas. So lots of good players in the state of Texas. Ryan, the bidding is up for you now. Who do you want to talk about here on the visit section of our show?
For Saturday, for today, does it matter? I don't know.
I got to go Bo Jackson.
Bo Jackson, man. I mean, incredible name there. Is Bo Jackson Saturday, right? You had me spook up for a second.
Yes. Okay. And Auburn finally offered him this week. Like,
I saw on. That. Yeah. How did that take so long? Look, just a really special athlete. I think he'd be a running back at Penn State, 6 foot, 204. Really good athlete. The one thing I'll say, though, is I do kind of think he's going to end up at Ohio State, right? Doesn't the Buckeyes, they always get, you don't think
I
so?
I don't know, man. I don't know. Okay. I don't know that he's like top of the priority. Now Ohio State is, of course, changing running backs coaches. So that mm-hmm. is going to have the ultimate say on where he stands. That's but from people I talk to, I don't know that his rating matches the interest that you would think for an Ohio player.
Interesting. I think Penn State's pretty high on him. And I think they would, if they were to take a third running back, time will tell. Check out the scholarship story I just posted today. I get into details about that. I do think he would be one of the four that they would seriously consider. So I think he's a great athlete. We got to watch him at camp last year. I was pretty impressed with him. So we'll see. Good to get him back on campus. I think it's what, fourth or fifth visit total. So Penn State is consistently getting him on campus. So is Ohio State. They still lead with when it comes to total visits, as they should. You would expect that. But Penn State's in the mix here, and they would add him if they could.
Yeah, he's a guy that I think even as a young player at camp stood out to all of us when he just looks like he was younger than everybody else and looked like a running back more so than some of the other guys. Fitz, Brady, we're going to go with Brady Hart next because that one's an interesting one. Quarterbacks are always interesting.
He's a 2026 quarterback from Florida. But the thing here is I am from Franklin County in southern Pennsylvania. His father is also from Franklin County. If you know the name Alex Hart, amazing baseball player at Chambersburg for Bob Thomas back in the late 90s. Went to Florida, was drafted by the Pirates, played in the Pirates system for a long time. That guy's a legend down where I'm from. That's why it's very interesting to me. I appreciate Towson Knit, one of the best posters on our board, pointing that out over the weekend. Also, I don't appreciate it because he's only a couple years older than me and he's got a son that's in the 2026 class. So anyway, Brady Hart is one of those guys. He's going to visit everywhere. He won a state championship last year as a sophomore, put up some big numbers. And there's a lot to like there. It's very early in the 2026 recruiting cycle. So the next step with him is to sort of lean on those roots in Pennsylvania. I'm sure he's probably still has family up here. But also get him back to camp and get him to throw for Danny O'Brien, Andy Kolonecki, and those guys. And aside from feeling old, it's pretty cool to see somebody with those roots popping up on campus.
Two more I have here on our rundown. Brandon Finney, we talked about a little bit earlier in the cornerback conversation. Is there anything else to add with Finney? And then if you want to go somewhere else, go for it.
I'll expand on Finney a little bit just because – you know, this is a McDonough guy, right? So we always talk about Penn State, the McDonough pipeline, all that. His recruitment is just now blasting off, or really December into January. You look at the offers he's added, you know, between Georgia and, you know, a bunch of Big Ten schools. Notre Dame was the most recent one. I mean, Penn State didn't offer him until like December, right, Sean? I thought it was like early December when Penn State offered him. Great testing numbers. He's been running, I think, this indoor track recently. I think he outran Kanoa Winston. You know, in a 60 meter recently.
55,
yeah. Both were great. Both were great times. But this is a guy who's really just kind of taken off right now. Charles put him in the On300 recently. Great size. There's a lot to like here. But the one thing I will say is the feedback I've been getting is that, you know, a school like Notre Dame should have him pretty intrigued. So let's see where things go. It's a great sign that he's getting back on campus pretty quickly just because he was just here, I believe, for a, was it the February or one of the late January junior days. And I mean, I didn't really realize before, like, he didn't really take any visits before. He took one to Virginia Tech, then came to Penn State for Junior Day. I think this is only like his third visit total. So this is a guy who's really just now taking off. And that, and because of that, I would expect him to take official visits and go into June. So let's see, you know, how that works with the other corners involved. But, you know, I do think that Penn State, if they're able to consistently get him back maybe in April or May and then get an official visit, they should be in the mix. But keep an eye on Notre Dame. He has a Georgia offer now. You know, there's plenty of quality schools in the mix.
Yeah, and there's a reason. Like, I haven't watched all the cornerbacks like Fitz and like you have, but when I've seen Brandon Finney, he's one of those players where James Franklin talked about Abdul Carter the other day of like, we just wanted him in the program where he wanted to play. That's fine. Play for Penn State. Like, he's Brandon Finney seems like a dude. He's 6'2". He runs that fast. You've got to like just those building blocks. And then on top of that, I think he's good at football.
Yeah. I think he's still coming along in football, and just because of like, I think because of the speed, because of what he does, the highlights look really good from a play to play basis in terms of talking to people down there. It's still a work in progress, but he is 6'2". Like, he is like the prototype in terms of that. He's got long arms. He's got the speed and things like that. He's not an elite sprinter. Like, he's a really, really good sprinter, but he doesn't have to be because he's 6'2" and he's going to play football in college. Like, but he's going to be at the top of the speed ratings in terms of this this class. So it's pretty cool to watch him develop. It's interesting. I've been following him for about a year and a half because if you watch in that area in the DMV, if Charlotte offers a kid early, like Biff Hoagie knows everybody down there. If Charlotte offers a kid early, it's like, okay, there might be something here. Same as Azar when he was at Boston College. He's now at Maryland. So like, you watch some of those early offers and you're like, okay, there's probably something here. If you look at a good chunk of the 2025 class, a lot of the first offers for those guys was from Charlotte, and Charlotte has to do that. Like, in whether that's a relationship builder, if they hit the portal eventually, whatever, but
right. It's
an interesting dynamic in the DMV with Biff coaching down there and just knowing so many people.
Dizier Carter is the last one I have here. Fitz, is he somebody you added there? And tell us about Dizier if he is.
Yeah, really good 2026 receiver. He's been on campus before. His older brother DeQuies played, or I don't know if he's still at Indiana, but he's a receiver at Indiana. Originally went to Fordham out of Louisa County, which is where Brandon Smith was. DeQuies and Brandon Smith are very close because I remember Brandon actually bringing DeQuies up to me at a camp one time and saying, "Hey, watch this guy," and he was really good. Like, I can't believe. Like, no disrespect to Fordham. I can't believe he fell to Fordham because he was a very good player. He went in the portal, had a productive year at Indiana last year, and is just a really good player. So Dizier, he's got the genes. There's a lot to like there. One of those smooth receivers that kind of does it all. I don't know numbers on him, 40 numbers or anything like that, but I see a guy named Carter who's related to DeQuies. I'm pretty interested there. So he'll be up on campus this Saturday as a group of 2026s. As T. Frank mentioned, there's a bigger list on the site. There are many guys with offers coming this weekend. So it's a pretty good weekend for Penn State.
So there's four top 100 prospects coming today or Saturday. That's pretty good.
That's okay. Yeah. I can do that. Pretty good.
Ryan, what's coming up from you at BlueWhiteIllustrated.com? I know you had something this morning that you actually posted that sounded pretty interesting.
Yeah, we did the scholarship projections for offense, posted that today. We'll do defense tomorrow. Other than that, you know, just trying to track down who's going to be here and you know, get some reactions, things like that. I mean, we're back into recruiting season, so it'll be, you know, much of what fans always expect when it comes to reactions and building different lists. And, you know, we have a pretty good feel for who will be here today, tomorrow, and Saturday. And, you know, by the time I get to Saturday, Sunday, we're already trying to figure out who's going to be here next week. So it'll be like that for the next couple of weeks. Wouldn't be shocked if Penn State gets a commitment here before the blue-white game, around the blue-white game. I could see another one or two coming. They're in a good spot with quite a few guys that are going to visit. You know, and having 11 commitments already, it certainly gives them a reason to, you know, push a little harder or give guys a reason to think. So wouldn't be shocked if they were able to get another one or two here in the spring. And then, you know, we'll see where things go after the blue-white game.
Fitz, what do you got coming up?
Ryan, you got a vacation coming up that I don't know about that you can push one across the line for us?
Well, I tried to go to Florida during the blue-white game, but, you know, my college, all my best friends from college, all of whom went to Penn State, they scheduled a Florida trip for all of us to go during the blue-white game. I'm like, are you, there's all those weeks in April, you had to pick that one as the week to go. That hurt a little bit. But
well, hopefully they get rain on like you did when you were in Florida.
Yeah. I'm sure it'll be perfect the whole time there. Anyway.
More team coverage coming at BlueWhiteIllustrated.com. Thursday is a practice. Saturday is a practice. They're just getting into things right now for the spring. But, you know, it's always good to follow along every day as much as you can. And I just encourage you to check out the site.
We will get going. We got some great stuff coming up. I sat down yesterday with Landon Tangwall, and he broke down. He used the term shin angle as an elite trait for Olufashinu. So if you love football and you love the nitty-gritty details, we've got film study coming up for you today over at BlueWhiteIllustrated.com, and we're going to release a little bit of it here on the channel, so you can get a taste of what we're going to be doing with Landon over the next couple of weeks as well, and we'll be telling you where you can find that because he's doing so many different things, and I'm excited he's interested in partnering with us and with me here on the YouTube channel and on the site. So check all that stuff out. We will be back next week with more information, more coverage, more Penn State football practice. I'm going to ask Fitz some questions off air that I'm curious about, and we're going to get some information to you, including wrestling. Our wrestling show coming up tomorrow at 10 a.m. So make sure you check that out as well. I'm Thomas Frankar for Ryan Snyder and Sean Fitz. We'll talk to you later.
Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kid's PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.